And to Moms by Grace this year. I'm really, really excited about this year. We're going to be studying, if you haven't heard, through the book of, or the chapter of Proverbs 31. But before we do that, this summer, as I was preparing for teaching today, God just graciously gave me these wonderful books, and really out of the blue, and they are great, so we're going to give them away today. So we want to know who has the tiniest baby, the newest baby. How about 1 month? 1 month old? Does anybody have a couple weeks? No, okay, so 2 months? Does anybody have a 2 month old? Three? Three and a half? Does anybody have less than three and a half old baby? How old? Okay, so a little less than 3 months. Okay, does that beat everybody? Okay, so this book, I'll explain this both of these books real quick, but you can pick which one you want. This one, Christ in the Chaos, is a really, it's a short little book, but it's got little, I don't want to call them, they're not really chapters, but they're just little snippets of gospel, and straight for a young mommy's heart. And when you only have 2 minutes, you get to read it in 2 minutes and go. So this is a great one. And then Glimpses of Grace, this is a really amazing, amazing book. I love, love, love it. It's about bringing the gospel in your home and how to live that out. She's a neat lady. It's by Gloria Furman. They're missionaries in Dubai, I think, and just a neat writer, so really encouraging. So those are the two books. Which one would you like? Oh, great. Now it's up to me. Well, okay, hold on before I walk down there. So the next one we're going to do, who's the newest to FBC? How long have you been at FBC? What? Really? Awesome. Welcome. What is your name? Krista. Krista? It's nice to have you. Okay, so you guys can... Well, we're going to pray and get started this morning. We have a lot to cover. So, Father, thank you, Lord, so much for... Lord, this time this morning, and Lord, I'm excited and nervous, Lord, but I just pray that you would be honored and that you would be glorified through this time, and that you would, Lord, teach us through your word and reveal sin and correct us, Lord, and that we would be trained in righteousness. And I just thank you for this opportunity and pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to give you a really quick testimony, a really, really quick one. God saved me in the midst of a semester at Point Loma University when I was 19. And I did not come from a Christian home. There was no godly woman that led me to the Lord. It was literally out of God's abundant grace and mercy in adopting me that he took me from my sin and brought me into his family. Jeff and I were married the next year, so I was 20. And we've been married for 17 years this year. We have a 16-year-old and 11-year-old, Jacob and Kaylee. And ministry has been a part of our lives for over half of our marriage. We started out in third grade and moved on real quickly to high school, to high school ministry, where we spent 9 years. And since last year, God led us to adult ministries. So this is our second year in adult ministries, and we love the Word of God, and we love the body of Christ, and are just continuing to serve him and are excited about it. So that's a really small snippet. Here's my disclaimer for the day. I'm not teaching about Proverbs 31 because I've arrived. Because, right, like, we all have this really horrible thing called sin, and we're not going to arrive anywhere until we get to a heaven. So I'm not that. I'm not her. I want to be her. But it's by his grace that he's brought me here, able to teach his word and what he says. So my authority today is the word, and I come with that. So I know you guys know 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 tells us all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, which is rebuke for wrong behavior or wrong thinking, for correction, restoring or pointing you back to godly living, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We must align our lives not with what the world tells us, but what the Word of God says is godly living that glorifies Him. Because the world tells us that your top priority should be you, right? Submissiveness is a weakness, and that you should call the shots. Your identity is being a mom. That's what the world tells us, instead of finding your identity in Christ. You should be happy instead of disciplining yourself in holiness, right? That's what the world tells us. Be happy. Not only does the world tell us these things, but our hearts do also. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Because our hearts tell us these things and deceive us, we must look to the truth of God's word to tell us what is true. We are easily swayed by the world without God's word. Romans 12:1-2 says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." We must present our lives as living sacrifices unto the Lord, continually transforming our minds by renewing it with the word of His word. If you guys remember one Sunday, kind of a while back, I can't remember when it was, but Chris taught on diving deep into God's word. Do you guys kind of remember that? Where he was saying, we're not gonna stay on the surface. We're going to dive really deep into God's word. So today and possibly throughout the year, we're going to be doing that. There might be some heavy things that we talk about, and you'll need time to chew on these things. Please don't be intimidated by our time together. Our goal is to speak into each other's lives and spur each other on to good works as we hide ourselves in God's grace. So we do have a lot to cover, so let's dive in. The beginning of Proverbs 31 is out of the mouth of King Lemuel, but it's really from his mom. It's something his mom taught him. Oracle, in the word, means burden. So I can imagine his mom had this great burden for him as he ruled as king. He was a king. The verse 3 says, "Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings." If you remember all throughout Proverbs, it mentions what type of women destroy. So you've got Proverbs, all throughout 2, 5, 6, 7, 9, 11, 19, and 21 talks about the forbidden woman with a smooth tongue, lips that drip honey. She forsakes the companion of her youth. She forgets the covenant of her God. The adulteress with her smooth words. She dresses as a prostitute. She's wily of heart, loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay home. Seductive, and it says she knows nothing. A woman without discretion. The quarreling wife. The quarrelsome and fretful woman. So those are the things that all throughout Proverbs talks about these women. And then we get to Proverbs 31. What a stark contrast between those chapters. Proverbs 31 is organized as an acrostic from the Hebrew alphabet. Acrostics are easy to remember. You guys remember Mother's Day? As kids, we do an acrostic so we remember how great our moms were. King Lemuel's mom must have knew he needed this information, and he would need it quick. Because, especially if all those other women were running around town, right? Of all the other Proverbs 3 women. So today we're going to look at an acrostic so we can remember as we leave here today. It's going to be love. So first, she loves the Lord. Second, she is obedient to God's word. Number three, she values what God values. And number four, she embraces her roles. We are going to, today it's going to be a little bit different than it would normally be. After each section, we're going to have group time. So because it's a lot to cover, we're going to get to talk about how she loves the Lord. And then we're going to get to talk about how she's obedient to His Word all separately. So I'll let you guys know how that's going to work. But so first, she loves the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 31. The Proverbs 31 woman loves the Lord above all else, above her husband and above her children and above worldly treasures. Verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Meaning she honors and respects and is astonished by her God and what He has done for her. Her desire is to serve Him. Verse 10 through 29 all hang on verse 30. It's the driving force of the whole chapter. Because she fears the Lord, she does all these things. And we're going to go over some of those things. So not to confuse, but I replaced fear with love. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? How can I tell if a woman fears the Lord? And what does it look like in action? Number one, what does it mean to fear the Lord? To fear God is definitely not a topic hard to find in God's Word. In fact, it runs from Genesis to Revelation. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding." The fear of God can be described as this: the indefinable mixture of reverence, fear, pleasure, joy, and awe, which fills our hearts when we realize who God is and what He has done for us. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all of your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you." As we see, there must be a connection between fearing the Lord and considering the great things He has done for us. But the Bible also tells us that God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:28 through 29 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." To fear God also means just that, to fear. Mark Dever quotes, "God inspires awe. What God has done inspires affection." Both can be included in this idea of fearing Him. A reverent distance, I love this, a reverent distance, yet and yet a drawing love. Fearing God involves a realization of who He is and who we are. It is a realization of the truth of our sin against a perfect, holy, and righteous God. What stirs you to repent of your sins? What encourages you to persevere in good? What causes you to call out to God to sanctify you is the fear of God. So what does fearing God look like? How can we tell if we truly fear the Lord? Well, a fear of the Lord looks like obedience to His Word. Why does it look like obedience? Because like we talked about previously, we understand who He is and what He has done. He has saved us from our sin. We are no longer unrighteous, but we have Christ's righteousness. There is no longer an eternal consequence for sin. He has saved us, and with that understanding comes an obedient life. Not to gain favor, but out of reverence. In my life, I've seen my love for the Lord grow as I spend time in His Word and in prayer, studying and seeking to understand what He wants for my life. Not what I want, but His desires for me. So then, if I fear the Lord, I will cling to His Word as the only source of life. 1 Peter 2, 2-3 says, "Like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." If I fear the Lord, I will be a helper to my husband and serve him, because I know that Ephesians 5:22 calls me to submit to my husband as to the Lord. If I fear the Lord, I will value my children, knowing that God has given them to me as a gift. Psalm 127:3-4 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." If I fear the Lord, I will be diligent with what He has put me in charge of. Proverbs 31 tells us that a woman who fears the Lord is also not concerned about the deceitful and vain things in life, such as beauty and charm. Remember verse 30? She is not consumed with the latest fashion or overly concerned about her hair and her makeup. Clothing and hair and makeup are not bad things in themselves, but if they take precedence over your time with the Lord, your budget, your thoughts, that's a red flag that you're not valuing what God puts value on. God does not value these things. God calls these things deceitful and vain. 1 Peter 3, 3-4 says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight is very precious." Think about it. God never concentrates on our outward appearance, but at times that is exactly what we concentrate on the most. Look at what the Bible has to say about our character. The Bible says we should be respectable, modest, self-controlled, not slanderers, loving our husbands and children, kind, pure, quiet, submissive, reserved, dignified, sober-minded, and faithful. The only thing on this list that can be considered external is being modest. But if we really think about it, ladies, it's still an issue of our heart. So again, how can we tell if a woman fears the Lord? She is faithful to spend time with her Savior, knowing she is nothing without Him. She's not concentrated on the deceitful externals, but on the internal things of the heart that God says are precious. She also clothes herself with strength and dignity. Look at verse 25. It says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come." We can see throughout Proverbs 31 that she is strong in her mind, her body, and her spirit. My goodness, the woman is pure and honest, industrious, thrifty, strong in character, kind, wise, holy. She serves her husband. She works willingly, plants a vineyard, operates a spindle. She gets up early and is late to bed, helps the needy, provides clothing for her family, and is never idle. Can you see her inner strength? This woman is characterized by... I can't even relate. But I definitely don't operate a spindle, and nor do I plant a vineyard. But I want to in my backyard. I do want to do that. It also says she laughs at the time to come. It means she's not anxious about the future. She's strong and confident in the Lord. She has no need to worry. I love this quote by John Piper. He says, "A woman who fears the Lord will not run away from God to satisfy her desires and relieve her anxieties." Many times I run from the Lord to relieve those things. In fact, preparing for this day, we were actually on vacation, and I I've been frantically preparing throughout the summer for this, but I was studying up early in the morning, and the kids are running around, and my heart is just so anxious because it's not happening. What do I put on this paper? What do I write? And the first person I run to for my anxieties is my husband. So I'm like, "Can you fix this? Can you do this? Can you just do something and make it work?" And I started crying and just expecting him to go, "Yeah, poof, here you go, done." Go speak that. And I think it was because the process wasn't easy. God wanted to do things through me and in me and in my own life that weren't simple. And I didn't like it. I wanted things to be simple. My heart, how easily my heart strays from the truth. I allowed my eyes to come off the power of God in my life and what He wanted to do in and through me in this process. And instead, my focus became on my desires, my comfort, my wants. Isn't that usually how it works? We want to be changed by the Lord, but we want sanctification to be easy. I do. But instead of running from the Lord as if our sin will comfort us when we are anxious, we must run to the only one who can provide us with peace that surpasses all understanding. I am super thankful for the Word of God and the fact that my deceitful heart can be trained and taught and corrected in a loving way that God always does. Titus 2:5 tells us what our lives should look like as women who have faith in Jesus. Be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to our own husbands. It also gives us the reason why we are to live our lives in this way, so that the Word of God may not be reviled. Let us be women who adorn the gospel of our God, who bring the gospel great glory through our lives, so that others around us will be attracted to it. Another quote by Carolyn Mahaney in Feminine Appeal. Many of you have probably read this book. It's a great book. She says, "Our conduct has a direct influence on how people think about the gospel. The world doesn't judge us by our theology. The world judges us by our behavior. People don't necessarily want to know what we believe about the Bible. They want to see if what we believe makes a difference in our lives. Our actions either bring honor to God or misrepresent the truth." Isn't that true? So now we're going to go into our group time, and your leaders, your mentor moms and your peer moms, they have your questions. So we're going to do that, and you're going to have about 10 minutes or so, and then we'll come back for our next letter of our acrostic. I hope that was enough time to get started on talking about these things, though. I know as Moms by Grace leaders, our goal throughout the year is just that you guys would be able to speak into each other's lives as sisters in Christ, so that this time is for that, to encourage one another and to challenge one another. And so I hope that that's going to be the feel of our groups throughout the year, that we'd be able to encourage one another and challenge each other in holiness and in loving the Lord and being obedient to His Word. So, okay, so our next, we know that she loves the Lord. Our next letter is she's obedient to God's Word. The internet, social media, family, and friends all love to tell us how to live, and their views of right and wrong, how to treat our husbands, how to raise our children. The world's desire for us is that we become like itself. God's desire for us is that we become like His Son. That happens as we walk in obedience to His Word in relationship with Him and with each other. Let's look at how the Proverbs 31 woman is obedient to God's Word through her relationship with her husband. Number one, she is trustworthy. We know that because verse 11, if you look there, it says the heart of her husband trusts in her. She has proven to her husband that she is trustworthy. As we see throughout the text, her husband has absolute confidence in her integrity, her discretion, her wisdom, and her care for all of his interests. Proverbs 19:14 says, "House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." So what is prudent? I didn't know, because that's a word we don't use. But it's a really cool word. The meaning is acting with or showing care and thought for the future. So we can say, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a wife that acts with and shows care and thought for the future is from the Lord. Does your husband have confidence that you show care and thought for the future of your relationship and your family? Can you guys think of a time when your husband didn't trust you? I can. Early in our marriage, my eyes were on me and how to please myself. I loved shopping. I still do. But I would go shopping because it would make me feel happy. And it would give me some small pleasure for that moment. Those things provided a really short measure of pleasure. I would spend money on frivolous things and hope all would work out in the end. At that point, I'm pretty confident Jeff did not trust me to do him good, because I was not trustworthy. I was not thinking about the future. It was just, how can I please myself today? I was not a wife of proven character. Sometimes maybe the shoe might be on the other foot. Maybe you don't trust your husband. God tells us in 1 Peter 3 to win them without a word by our respectful and pure conduct. So it's our response that makes a difference to our husbands. Are we going to trust the Lord and that He knows what's best in the way that we respond? Or are we going to take things into our own hands? Maybe your husband isn't a believer. Maybe he's not obedient to the word. Then the question is, who do you serve? How do you develop the character of being trustworthy? A godly woman trusts and serves the Lord, whether or not her husband is walking with the Lord, or whether or not he is obedient to the word. I know many women in our body who are great examples of a First Peter 3 wife, who live respectful and pure lives in front of their husbands, obedient or non-believing, so that God may be glorified. Not putting on an act, but out of a love for her Lord. As I was looking back on my marriage and thinking and writing this and thinking about what it looked like back then and how it looks now, I decided to ask Jeff. He just loves it when I text him and go, hey, some serious question. He's like, you're asking me to answer this right now? But I asked him what he thought of where we were and where we are now. And his response made so much sense, and I love it. When I know that my wife desires to please the Lord in all she does, I have no reason not to trust her. I didn't desire to please the Lord back then, so he had a reason not to trust me. It makes sense, though. His confidence is in the Lord. It's not in me. It's in the fact that I desire to please the Lord. I can't put up a big talk about me loving the Lord and desiring to please Him. I must act. That's what shows my husband that I'm trustworthy. And I must act in such a way that shows I desire to please the Lord and not myself. Are you guys trustworthy? Ask yourselves that. Look back. It's good to look back. It's good to take a moment to look at your marriage and your relationship with your husband and your walk with the Lord. We prove to our husbands that we can be trustworthy because of our reverence for Christ. The Lord has called us to serve our husbands and to be their helpers. The Bible calls the Proverbs 31 woman virtuous in some versions, meaning chaste, moral, righteous, honest to the point her husband is not fearful or anxious. Ladies, this is not a far-reaching goal that our husbands trust in us. It is not something we can never attain to. It is the constant day in and day out things that we do that cause our husbands to trust us. We do them good each day. Our focus is helping them, and by doing that, we are serving the Lord and bringing honor to His name. Number two is she is selfless. Verse 12 says she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Being selfless is being concerned more with the needs and desires of others than with one's own needs and desires. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. But then Paul goes on to give us our ultimate example of selflessness. Verse 5 through 8 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, humbling himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. I don't know if I mentioned earlier, but I went to school to be a graphic designer. My goal was to live in or near a big city and work for a big company and make my name great. I didn't really give a lot of thought on how I could be a helper to my husband or bring him any good at all. It was about me. He had his goals and I had mine. Thankfully, God did not see fit to leave me in my sin. As I look back, I can see where two people started. Though through many years and joys and trials, God has made those two people one. After 17 years of marriage, I'm not sure where Jeff begins and I end. We truly have become one flesh. His desires are my desires. His success is my success. His burdens. Thanks, brother. I'm not going to cry. His burdens are my burdens. Too much love happening. Okay. God has given me a joy in making life easier for him. It's not something I mustered up myself, I can tell you that much. God has truly changed my heart and my desires. Did I mention, though, that there were joys and trials? Because there were a lot of them. But that doesn't mean I don't struggle today with being selfish. My old self comes around quite often. But God has given me a desire to bring glory to the gospel through my marriage, and I'm able to lay down my life through Christ. It's not something I make one decision to do, and I'm all done. It's a daily dying to self and depending on the Lord every day and being thankful that his mercies are new every morning. The Proverbs 31 woman always does what is best for others. She strengthens, she builds up, she encourages. She never speaks evil as to cause other people to distrust. There are a lot of things that bring my husband good. What is best for my husband is that I get up early and that I spend time with the Lord in his word and in prayer. As I spend time in the word, I am reminded of the gospel. Because the Son of God laid down his life for me, I am able to lay down my life and I'm able to serve my husband and my children and do the things that God calls me to do that day. And those things are doing my husband good for all the days of my life. Number three, she is influential. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He's known in the gates among the elders because of his reputation, the reputation of his wife and family. He is esteemed, honored, and respected by his wife and family. Therefore, he has a good reputation among others. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings him shame is like rottenness in his bones. I love the correlation. It, as I read that, just reminded me of the Proverbs 31 woman was a crown to her husband, but just like that, Christ adorning us with his righteousness, we are his crown, right? I mean, we represent him. Just like the Proverbs 31 woman represented her husband. By being an excellent wife, we can adorn our husbands with a beautiful crown that brings them respect and honor. What influence we have, not with words, but with our lives. Remember 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2, talks about winning them without a word by our conduct, respectful and pure. Remember why we would do these things, so that the word of God may not be reviled. If our desire is to love the Lord and to be obedient to his word, then our lives will affect those around us. And we will be a vessel of honor, useful to the master. I love 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses herself from what is dishonorable, she will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Again, I'm so thankful for God's word. I'm not left to imagine or come up with what kind of woman pleases the Lord or what it looks like to serve my husband and children in a way that honors and glorifies God. So we're going to go into our group time now and talk about our next letter. You guys will have about 10 minutes. Okay, guys, we're going to get started again. Come on back. Okay, so we know that Proverbs 31 woman loves the Lord. She's obedient to God's word. And our next acrostic is she values what God values. I hope you guys can see this because this is fun and interesting. But we were on vacation. God really spoke through vacation, I think. And I'm not sure how I found this, but I did. It's a Time magazine cover for August 12th, and I'm going to read you guys a little snippet from this. Really super interesting. So you've got August 12th, Time magazine. As you can see, the cover says, "The Child-Free Life, When Having It All Means Not Having Children." So the beginning of the article states, "One evening when she was 14 years old, Laura Scott was washing dishes in the kitchen with her mother when she decided she didn't want to have a child. At 26, Scott got married and waited for her mind to change. It never happened," she says. "And I realized I was going to be fine. Now 50, Scott is more than fine. She's fulfilled. And she's not alone. The decision to have a child or not is a private one, but it takes place in America, in our culture that often equates womanhood with motherhood. Women who choose not to become mothers are finding new paths of acceptance. As their ranks rise, so do positive attitudes about leading a life in which having it all doesn't mean having a baby." Ladies, this is our worldview of marriage and family today, but this is not God's heart. God values children. Our marriages and our families are tools to show off Christ. God tells us in Psalm 127, 3 through 5, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." Children are a free gift and a reward from God himself, and we are blessed because of them. So I want to make 2 points in this section. Number one, teach your children with kindness. The Proverbs 31 woman values her children and receives them as a blessing. She uses the time to pass on the love she has for God and his commandments with wisdom and kindness. Proverbs 31, verse 26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Her speech is gracious, kind, good, compassionate, merciful, and most importantly, pleasing to the Lord." We all know that being gracious and kind can be a struggle at times when we teach our children the ways of the Lord. We can so easily fall into anger when our children do not listen. We are looking for obedience, and sometimes kindness flies right out the window. The decision has to be made at that moment. Either we walk in our flesh or we walk in the Spirit, and choose to have a heart of instruction as we correct our children and teach them the ways of the Lord. Ladies, we are the day in and day out teachers, the ones who teach by the hour and sometimes by the minute. It can be relentless when our children are small and constantly learning. So our eyes must remain on the only one who can provide us the strength to teach our children with kindness. Not only are we to teach with our mouths, but we are to also teach with our lives. John MacArthur says, "When you demand your family to be what you are not, you are telling them it's really not very important that they learn this. It's only important that they try to teach it to somebody else and pass on the legacy of hypocrisy." But don't forget, let's not leave out that we must be teachable. We can learn a lot about ourselves from our children, can we not? I have a friend who decided to go to the park with her 5-year-old, and she asked her, "What can I do to be a better mommy?" Well, her child replied, "Be nice to me." Yeah, that can be difficult to hear from our children. Our children are like mirrors. When they are responding in unkind ways, sometimes we need to stop to analyze the ways we respond to them. Sometimes that can be an indicator of what they are seeing in us. Number two, teaching with kindness requires that our children be a priority. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Our children at times can be viewed as a distraction. We can be so focused on the task at hand, whether that be a job at home or laundry or house cleaning or whatever the task is, you fill in the blank. We get angry when they need our attention because it takes us away from the thing we are doing. The problem is not our children. The problem is us. A lot of times, things we want take precedence over the time it takes to train our children, which it takes a lot of time. We must teach them diligently. It means carefully and responsibly. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you might have older ones. You might have a 5-year-old also, or maybe you have even older ones. Maybe some of you don't know yet. Maybe some of you have a baby, and maybe they don't bother you yet. maybe your children sit quietly all day and play by themselves. I don't know. But stick these things in your back pocket because those times will come. Make sure you hear me here. I'm not saying that children be the priority. Children will need to be a priority. Our priorities can get out of order when we don't even realize it. Remember, our relationship with the Lord, being a helper to our husbands, teaching our children, taking care of our home. But there are times it doesn't look exactly like that in our day. If we get up early to spend time with the Lord and 5 minutes later and we hear our baby crying, we're not going to ignore them because, honey, I'm spending time with the Lord. You can't cry right now. But it's a matter of the heart, right? I wanted to share this quote with you from this book. It's great. She says, "Silence is not necessary for you to have a vibrant relationship with God. Your spiritual life is not restricted to early mornings before the noisemakers in your life wake up. If you feel that God meets with you only when the house is empty or quiet, you'll view every noise and every noisemaker as an annoying distraction to your communion with God. Or worse, there are times when I'm tempted to think of my whining toddler or ringing doorbell as obstacles that Satan has put in my way to take my eyes off Jesus." What a great quote and a reminder that communion with God doesn't mean that it's in quiet. Sometimes it is, and a lot of times it can be, but not all the time, right? When your babies are small and there's a lot of noise happening in your house, you take every opportunity. It's about our hearts. It's not about our time. It's not about our surroundings. In your season of life, it might look, well, I know it must look different than mine. My season is I get up early and I get to spend time in the quiet because that's what I love. And I get the choice to do that now. And I didn't back then, so I get it. But in your season, it might look like finding 2 minutes in the bathroom or whatever that is. But it's about our hearts. It's not about 6 a.m. And it's not about midnight. It's about your heart. Where is your heart? I know I need him. Therefore, the priority is to figure out what time works best for me and also for you in your season. We haven't even touched, and we really won't, on the distractions of media in our lives. Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, iPhones, Twitter, TV, etc. You can, I'm sure, think of way more than I can. My teenager has apps I don't even know what that is. I would encourage you, ladies, to look at your day and to figure out what areas do you spend most of your time. It's super important because really our days reveal what we value, right? They really do. Submit your day to the Lord and bring it under obedience to him. Also, verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." The book of Proverbs, so you know, is a book of wisdom, not a book of promises. Proverbs is not a do this and this will happen book, right? We are not promised that our children will rise up and call us blessed. But that's the goal, right? To live our lives in such a way that glorifies the gospel so that they have a reason to rise up and call us blessed. We're going to have group time again, and we'll come back for our last letter. Okay, so ladies, we're going to get started on our last letter this morning. Is that enough time? Is that not enough time? You guys want to talk more, huh? Well, I'll give you time after this one. You guys can have the rest of the time. Okay, so we know the Proverbs 30 woman loves the Lord. She's obedient to His word. She values what God values. And our last letter, E, is she embraces her roles. When I was pregnant with my son, I was 20. And I was going to school to be a graphic designer. After I finished college, he was somewhere around 2 years old. I started to work right away, put him in daycare, and well, he was actually in daycare previous to that also because I was going to school, so he'd be there a couple days a week. 2 years after that, I got pregnant with my daughter and continued to work. She was born, and I still continued to work. It was around the time when my son was 5 and my daughter was 8 months old that by God's sovereignty and grace through circumstances that were out of my control, He gently led me home to be with my children and to take care of my husband and my home. After, as I left, the thought of working in a job I enjoyed, I went like this, prying my hands away from it. But God is so gracious and merciful to deal with me in that. And I loved my husband and my children, of course, but I did not truly embrace my role as a wife and mom. I thought I could do it all. I was living that, you know. I could, but in a way, I still had children. I could do it all. I could work. I could be this, you know, really good graphic designer and work for a big company, and I could have children and be married. But I was trying to serve two masters, myself and God. I had not yet come to realize the true joy that comes from a life of service unto the Lord. I'm not saying we can't work, because maybe some ladies in here do. As we see the Proverbs 31 woman, she was an entrepreneur. But that was not her heart. Her treasure was God. First and foremost, it's a heart issue. It wasn't wrong that I wanted to go to school or to work, but that was not my heart. My heart behind those things was myself. I wasn't doing those things for the good of my family. God was calling me home, and that was for the good of my family. But I did not believe God had good planned for me. This Proverbs 31 woman's motivation for doing all the things she did was not self-fulfillment, was not self-esteem, not glorifying her home or herself. Her motivation was the fear of the Lord and showing Him off by bringing others good. I think we can all agree after reading, if you go through Proverbs 31, that she was not lazy. She was never self-indulgent. She definitely did not neglect the duties of her home. In fact, it says that she works in verse 13, she works willingly with her hands, or it says she works with her hands in delight. Maybe she literally delighted in the tasks she was doing, or maybe it was her love for the Lord and her husband and family that put delight in her work. Either way, the focus was not on herself. When the focus is ourselves, everything we do for someone else does not bring us delight. In fact, it brings us chores, inconveniences, drudgery, and bitterness. Our delight must be in serving God. Therefore, my delight will be in serving those God has placed in my life. Before God changed my desires as a young Christian woman, I looked at the home as boring with redundant chores, which equated to a wasted life. Oh, how little did I understand and how spiritually weak my heart was. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down." My heart had not been trained by God's word. I based my thoughts on what the world had taught me for 19 years. Little did I know, a wife, a mom, and a homemaker is anything but boring or redundant. Verse 27 says, "She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." Bread of idleness literally means eyes looking everywhere. Idleness in her day did not look like what it does now. She was not distracted by Facebook, Pinterest, or Instagram, right? Those things are not a bad thing in themselves, right? They're not sin in themselves, but they cause us to sin. It's a good chance if you find yourself spending a lot of time in those things, I guarantee there's idleness in your day. The Proverbs 31 woman's focus was the tasks for that day, so much so that verse 15 says she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. She didn't hit the snooze button on her alarm. The sun wasn't even up when she started to prepare for her day. She had a plan, and that plan did not include the things that were of no value to her and her family. I encourage you ladies to examine your day and see if there are ways to eliminate activities that don't bring any value to your families. Hobbies, social activities, and entertainment are fun, and they do have their place. But these things have to be secondary to the things that God values. God's desire, as we've looked at, is that we love Him first, clinging to His grace as we serve our husbands, each day as we teach our children about who He is, seeking to say yes to the things He calls us to and saying no to the things He does not. For me, it's serving the three wonderful people in my life, and when they don't look so wonderful, that I realize I'm really the most blessed in the end. Really, for the main reason that I become more like Christ as I engage with them, as I'm in relationship with my husband and my children. It's like iron sharpening iron that happens when Jeff and I seek to glorify the Lord in our family. And when you know iron sharpening iron, sparks fly, right? There's things that happen there. But the result is beautiful if our goal is to honor the Lord. But also, I've realized in having a marriage and family for the glory of God that it takes those not-so-wonderful moments, those please forgive me, I am thankful for grace moments, to get to those moments that we don't forget. If you guys can believe it, we have barely covered, just touched the surface of this woman who is worthy of praise. Our goal throughout this year is not to become the Proverbs 31 woman. And I want you guys to understand that. We will never attain to that. But it is to become more like Christ. That is our goal. To find our identity in Him and not in the world. So let us be women of His word in contrast to a world that wants nothing to do with Him, so that we bring honor and glory to the gospel of our God. So remember our acrostic, love. A godly woman loves the Lord. She's obedient to God's word. She values what God values, and she embraces her role. We're going to pray, and then you guys get the rest of the time to be in group. Sorry. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for your word that, Lord, pierces our hearts, that trains us and guides us and directs us, Lord, that we don't have to be women who are swayed by this world, Lord, that we can be confident in the truth of your word and we can stand on that, Lord. I pray that we would be wives and moms who honor and glorify your gospel. And Lord, that you would be our first love. And all those things, Lord, that come and all the roles that we are put in as a wife and a mom and a homemaker, Lord, that they would just point to you. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified in each of these women's lives as they, as iron sharpens iron in their marriages and with their children, Lord. I thank you for today, and I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that our group time today, as sporadic as it was, would be profitable, and that you would be made beautiful, Lord. We thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.